Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Happy Being Well. I have an exciting guest today, Noah Scott. He is the founder and host of The Big Possible. I've listened to Noah's podcast. He has his own podcast. He has a social club and he runs retreats. I highly encourage everybody to listen to his podcast. I was thoroughly impressed by his podcast. But before we dive deep with Noah on how to achieve your wildest dreams, this podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com, your online store for yoga leggings, crystals, sage, Palo Santo, 100% natural facial masks, and much more self-care goodies at Happy Being Well. Enter code podcast25 to get 25% off all activewear leggings. So back to Noah. So I'm excited to have you on. I really do. I really loved listening to a few of your episodes of your podcast. You have great energy. I love listening to your insights, you know, on the process of achieving our dreams, you know, whatever obstacle that we have to overcome, whether it's minor or major, or, you know, why do some people achieve their dreams and why do some people don't, you know what I mean? It's a huge journey. I mean, I think we all can relate. We've all been on some type of journey, whether that was getting a promotion or, you know, getting our dream job, or maybe we've lost it. Like, we've all had experiences. And some people are still, you know, climbing up to kind of really achieve their dream. So like, what has been your journey, Noah, to finally like create this beautiful project that you have, The Big Possible, with your podcast and your social club and your retreats? Like, what led you there to create that?
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show, Rita. It's just great. I mean, so those of you listening, Rita was a guest on my show as well, so you definitely have to go listen to her episode where she shares her story as well. So it's really fantastic. But yeah, like the process for discovering that this project, The Big Possible, was my mission, it took a long time and a lot of exploration, a lot of failure. Decades actually went into me finding the courage to actually start this. Because looking back, I kind of had a lost decade. My 20s, I was a delinquent. I was completely lost. I spent those 10 years really just searching for validation and meaning by going to parties, wasting my time. I was trying to be a model or whatever you want to say it, but life was really surface level. And I ended up at 29 with a lot of debt, no money in my bank account, no real achievements. Sure, I started a couple businesses that ultimately didn't go anywhere. Learned a lot of great skills, went to a lot of wild, fun parties. But ultimately, I was left, you know, sitting here at 29, I'm like, what am I doing? And it took a really bad breakup for me to have that moment of waking up and realizing that there was more, that I was meant for something bigger. And I decided to do my own version of Eat, Pray, Love, I guess. Back then, this is, you know, many, many years ago, I wandered on foot across Japan. So I just got an iPhone and I decided I was going to film a documentary walking across Japan along this path called the Tokaido. The Tokaido is kind of like a Route 66 or the Camino de Santiago in Japan, very famous pilgrimage route. And so I did that. And along the way, I ran out of money. I had to kind of work in sake factories and farms in order to get by and get food to eat. But the journey was really eye-opening for me. That time by myself on the road, I didn't have music, I didn't have anything but just the sound of cars on the freeway, the waves to the right of me, and, you know, the crunch of gravel under my feet as I walked. In that repetition, day in, day out, I would walk 20 kilometers or so, set up a tent, camp, and then go to the next city. I really discovered this love for creating stories. And every time I would walk into a new city, I would try to document that process. And I would find the warmest, welcoming places where these little travelers' inns. And so I really enjoyed that process of entering a new town and sharing stories with the other travelers who are out on adventures and missions, or just, you know, seeing the world. And I remember one point I was about to give up, and I entered this, you know, walking, what am I doing? This is crazy. So I entered this little town called Sekijuku, and it was fully restored. It looked like exactly like it would be the 15th century, with blue slate tile roofs, white plaster walls, cobblestone streets. And I found this little traveler's inn called Ishigakiya. I went in there, and that night we were playing, the guys were playing the shamisen. We were drinking sake until 3 in the morning, all singing, exchanging stories. And I left at that point realizing that this was what the journey was all about. It was about the community and finding people who could support you in your journey, that when things get rough, when things get difficult, there's always going to be someone who will show up, remind you that you're on the right path, and give you whatever help you need to keep going. And so, flash forward, I went back to the States. I found this passion for filmmaking. So I started a production company. And now I found a reason, a calling. And so I built this production company up with my team. We quickly became one of the most prominent short film companies in LA. And, you know, we kept going for several years. We built that company up. We even produced a feature film. And, you know, from there, I kind of hit another point where I didn't know what I was doing. And through these meandering paths of starting something, changing my mind, you know, feeling the way and discovering, okay, this wasn't quite right, all of that exploration led me to the path where I finally am now, where I'm leaning into that ikigai, that thing that I love to do, the thing that I was meant to do, which is create experiences and retreats that can bring people together in exotic destinations around the world and recreate that moment that I had in Japan, that moment of, wow, I'm not alone in the world. I can be surrounded by cool people that are inspiring me to live the biggest, boldest life possible. And so that's kind of what the mission is. And I said, okay, how am I going to actually make that happen? And it starts with knowledge. It starts with sharing wisdom and stories. And so that's what the podcast is about. So the podcast is spreading that message of, you know, hey, you can achieve anything. You know, don't give up on your dreams. Don't sell yourself short. Live to your full potential. And so that's kind of where it's begun.
That's awesome, Noah. Yeah. And now I know why I liked your podcast so much. You're an excellent storyteller. So, you know, that is so true. I think that you're totally on the right path from what I'm hearing from your journey. And it seems like you are, you know, you've been grooming, like all your experiences have groomed you to launch the big possible. And you're absolutely correct. I think, you know, most North Americans are caught up in comfort zones of, you know, they're working 9 to 5, or it's not even 9 to 5 anymore. It's more like it's they're past 5 p.m. It's like 8 p.m. sometimes, or, you know, 6 or 7 weekends sometimes, right? And then, you know, we are seeing this, you know, due to the pressures, this ever-growing pressure of, you know, holding down a corporate job, or, you know, people are, you know, now it's the new thing to bounce between different corporations. There's no more loyalty between employer and employee anymore. We are seeing people not as, I would say, connected in North America. Like, there's more of this social isolation that's taking place. And I think this is part of the reason why retreats have probably become so popular amongst North Americans. Their time, like you said, to feel like they're part of a community, to connect with other human beings, to share their stories, to realize they're not alone in what they're feeling and experiencing in day-to-day life in North America, right? So, I think that it's totally needed. And I also think, you know, when we do leave that familiar place of our environment, it helps, like you explained, when you went to Japan, it helps activate you know, new ways of perspectives and seeing things and developing solutions and flexible thinking, because we are not being triggered by the familiar environment. You know, you wake up in the morning, like you're, say you're in your home, you've lived there for, I don't know, 10 years. You go to your, you wake up and you have to go to your employer place at, you know, 9 a.m. every day, and you drive the same route. You know, you make your coffee. It's everything. Yeah. So your brain is being like, you're operating by default because you're anticipating exactly what's going to happen.
Can I jump in on that?
Yeah,
is something that I love. So my favorite word is adventure. I think that's by hands down, my favorite word is adventure. And there's a few reasons I really gravitate towards that. The biggest is that ability to reframe your mode of thinking. Because when, like you're saying, when we get stuck in a routine, we're closing off our perception and our perspective becomes narrowed. We don't see the possibilities. But the second you get out of your comfort zone, and it's a little cliche, I'm sure, like, okay, we've all heard that a million times, but like, get out of your comfort zone, not just in the way that you challenge yourself to do hard things, but also in the environment in which you live. So that might mean, okay, maybe I'm going to take a salsa class. Maybe I'm going to go for a jog at the beach today instead of in the city streets. And these random shifts, adventure doesn't have to be climbing the Himalayas. Adventure can be brought into your daily life. But that shift from the routine, the mundane, it creates a circulation of your thoughts. It creates an opportunity for your thoughts to not stagnate. And that perspective will allow you to see more clearly of what you're fully capable of. And it, you know, it sounds a little woo, but there's really synchronicity that happens when you pull yourself away from what you envision for the world and you allow yourself to be open for inspiration from the outside, the universe, right? And so I don't know, that's just one of the thoughts that just came to mind as you were going on about that. It's like, I freaking love adventure. And I think that's just something that if we can have more adventure and wonder in our daily lives, we're going to achieve so much more.
Oh, absolutely. Well, because it helps us, you know, kind of hack that bio rhythm or whatever you want to call it, you know, because our brains, you know, are like computers and it's being programmed by, you know, our external environment. I mean, if you let it, I mean, if you are not paying attention and not being the administrator of your own internal system, right? Administrator meaning, you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to anticipate, you know, what so-and-so does. I think the whole process is, you know, increasing our mindfulness, meaning increasing our awareness of how things affect us. How is this making your body feel? You know, how is your body feeling? I think that, you know, it was a journey for me to even, you know, get accustomed to what my body's feeling. Thereby that helps increase your intuition, thereby that helps you be more aware of how to really control our choices that we make in life and decisions. Once we understand how our decisions and choices are being influenced, are they influenced by fear? Is it, you know, just due to a particular societal way of thinking and ritual and structure, like, you know, following the economic rules? Meaning, you know, like in terms of investing safe and all these things, right? Mm-hmm. I think, and I can speak to my own self, is when, you know, it was, I don't know, you really have to, for me anyways, I started asking myself questions like, okay, if I, you know, for example, stay in a certain location, yeah, it seems to be safe because it's like, but thereby, what am I missing out on? Like, what would I miss out on that I would regret, you know, in my old age of not possibly achieving or experiencing? And I think that's really what life's about, is experiences. And that's what you're creating with the Big Possible, is you're creating a magical experience for people to tap into their true desires, their true genius, but through having those conversations with like-minded individuals that are also seeking to expand. They're also seeking to, you know, achieve their wildest dreams possible through that process. And it's needed. It's so needed in the way our North American mainstream culture is, right? Like, we've predominantly replaced true social connection with social media, right?
Yeah. So, oh, you hit the nail on the head there. That's, I think that's one of the biggest reasons why there's so many people feeling unfulfilled, is that we are settling for instant kind of gratification rather than reaching for the dreams, right? That, like, going for your dreams, having a purpose, and finding the courage to live that life is really where true happiness and satisfaction comes from. But we're dumbing ourselves down with the instant stuff, you know, and the all right, I'm just gonna go scroll on social media. And the second you can learn to love finding courage and embracing the hard stuff that's related to a deeper, bigger purpose more than the instant gratification, that's when you start to win. It's mind-blowing how productive I can be when I leave my phone at home. I'll do like 2 or 3 days out of the week where I just say, okay, today is the day I'm going to get focused on. I'm going to get a lot of, you know, a deep dive. And I'll just leave the phone at home and I'll walk into, I use a WeWork because I love the variety. So I walk into WeWork and there I'm surrounded by other people that are kind of grinding and hustling, and I get that community vibe. And I know I'm just not pulled to, like, okay, let me scroll on Instagram. Let me just stay focused and get the stuff done. And I start to pay attention to the colors around me, the way that the sounds come in to play. You know, I can feel things a little bit more because I'm not, my distractions or like my focus isn't pulled away by all these instant distractions. I'm able to actually like focus on, okay, what is the big mission for the day? And then how do I feel in the moment that I'm acquiring it? And when you know that you can actually, all right, I don't need to get distracted and go do this thing. You can actually be patient and look at the task in front of you and say, okay, this is all I'm going to do right now. Oh, it feels great to not have to split your attention.
Oh, absolutely. And I think going back to like social media too, not only is it, you know, by scrolling and stuff and having an instant gratification, you know, keeping in touch with people like through a comment or a DM or a like or whatever, or just seeing the recent photos of what they've done, it just kind of feels like, you know, because we're visual creatures, it kind of feels like we are. It's like replacing a real social connection exchange, because you see what they're doing and it kind of creates that you're kind of keeping in touch sort of thing, but it's really not a deep connection.
Also, surface level, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's actually like I'm seeing so much surface level kind of friendships being developed. And I'm not even sure people are really, if they're really recognizing, you know, like what they're missing out on, or it just becoming so socially accepted or whatever. And anywho, but I think also too, just the act of, you know, getting that perfect Instagram photo up in the pose or whatever, and then you're getting all the, and people are getting likes. And I feel like, you know, we've created a culture around, well, I'm happy, that's great. So the day's over, and as long as everyone's like, you know, liking the posts I'm making in terms of that perfect pose or the perfect background. I mean, that's, I guess, the influencer culture that we've created, and everybody. And so, and that's their instant gratification, but it's not, again, the surface level, that's not really going deep either. And, you know, it's creating a lot of, and I can speak to, cause I'm, you know, I recruit influencers, so I can, this is what I look at. So what was I going to say with that?
I've got, if you want to, can I cuss on the show?
Sorry?
Can I cuss on the show? Okay, I'll just use an acronym and then everybody can figure it out. Yeah. So one of the most powerful things I've heard this year is I was interviewing somebody on my podcast, and she said you need to find a place of a eff it, right? Just eff it. Like, there is no, I don't care what other people think. And when you can find that spot, because that's really what the problem is, right? When you're posting on social media, you're really afraid of judgment from other people. And or you're looking for validation from other people. And it's all this external stuff is really keeping you away from finding the stuff within. And sure, it's a hard trap to get out of. And it's a constant battle. In fact, I mean, this is a thing that's in that book, A Course in Miracles. The whole thing is about how do you get away from the ego and how do you find the ability to be free of that? And I find those three words just, if you can live that mantra of just eff it, just let it go. And it's really freeing when you just say, I'm just going to be whoever I want to be and do whatever I want to do. And I recognize that the validation that I'm seeking, it comes from me. You know, all the validation I need is self-validation. All the judgment that I'm thinking I'm receiving is actually judgment that I'm creating. It's all judgment is self-judgment. All validation is self-validation. And so once you sort of understand that, it becomes very easy to not let the things that other people are saying, the things that other people are doing, drag you down. Instead, you can look at it as like, great, these are just signals. These are just programs that are, you know, in the matrix or whatever you want to see it as, that are helping me move forward in my life. And your interactions with everyone else, if you can look at it as like, okay, this is a gift that I'm giving. Everything is, remember, like the time that we have together is all a gift. And your presence, if you can validate your presence, validate your existence as being something good, it becomes so easy to actually have interactions with other people without that fear of judgment or doubt.
Absolutely. And also too, like, I don't want to give the wrong impression to people. Like, it's nothing wrong with being an influencer or having amazing IG. I mean, sometimes I do it myself too. I like to have great.
It's IG. Leverage. It's leverage.
It's just being mindful that, you know, there's more like to get satisfaction in life, like, you know, by going within and I think honestly, just getting closer to your own personal truth, right? By going within. So I was just highlighting that because it's just really easy to just get caught up in that and kind of neglect everything else, like neglect truth, your own personal truth, you know, throughout, you know, the realms, the rest of our life, right? Like in terms of how we're feeling and what we're creating and the relationships we're creating and developing. I think that when you really look at it, and that's just why it's so great what you're doing, is anybody who wants to achieve, you know, whether whatever success on any level, whether it's massive success or, you know, achieving your wildest dreams possible, you know, it all starts, it all really involves relationships, right? Mm-hmm. To do that. You know, you need to cultivate great relationships with, you know, whether they're your clients or customers or, you know, partners, or whether it's vendors, you know, an advertising partner or whatever it is to kind of get your dream going. That we as human beings, we can't live on an island on our own to create something. We do have to have that relationship with other counterparts to make something happen and to create a very amazing thing. And people have to be motivated to do that and want to really co-collab with that same energy that you have and that same vision to kind of make that happen. So, and also too, especially your employees or even if you're just hiring contractors or whatever, you do, you know, they need to put in their best effort too, to kind of make that happen for you. And that all, it comes out of your ability to create amazing relationships and having a deep connection with people to inspire them to like want to be able to engage with you and to create that. And, but before we have great, amazing relationships with others, we need to have a great, amazing relationship with ourselves. It starts with ourselves first, because we all hear the cliches. Hurt people. And the narcissists, and a narcissist is a very trending term right now in our culture, narcissistic personality disorder, which is great. There needs to be awareness around that. But behind the narc is, again, negative feelings, not really liking themselves, insecurity, right? Thereby they exploit and abuse their personal relationships. So it's always going to create this chaos or conflict. So it starts with you first, having that relationship with yourself, and then you're able to cultivate these amazing, beautiful relationships outside to co-create your dreams alongside with you.
Yes, I really, really love how you brought that full circle around how powerful relationships can be. And then when you show up fully committed, yourself is ready to go, then you're adding rather than taking when you show up to these relationships. So there's something that I'd like to explore a little bit. There's a quote, I'm a big philosophy geek, so I love reading philosophy and just kind of pontificating on what our sort of meaning and purposes here. And there's a phrase by Marcus Aurelius where he talks about how to live a fulfilled and meaningful life, all that you really are required to do is to have a good character and to do good deeds. And it's fascinating when you really unpack those words. If you were to have a good character truly and to do good deeds, you really wouldn't feel, it would be a disservice to be isolated on an island somewhere, not living to your full potential. The real sort of value of living a big, fulfilled life is to live it to your boldest, is to push it to the limits. That's really what having good character means. Good character means accepting that you have a duty and an obligation to be the best person you can be, to reach for your dreams, to make yourself as big and courageous as possible, and then utilize your gifts and your talents, your time, your energy to the fullest, and give back to as many people as possible. Ultimately, if you're doing that, happiness is just going to flow through you throughout, like from head to toe. You're just going to feel so fulfilled and so happy. And whether, you're your own judge, ultimately, you're the one that knows whether or not you are living to that full potential. But there's something beautiful when you integrate community to that, when you add your own exercising your talents to the fullest, when you add that to other people who are on that same wavelength, you start to have what there's a mental model called alloys, which is basically this concept. When you have one metal that you mix with another metal, the metal becomes exponentially stronger rather than a linear addition. So you don't have, 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. Instead, 1 + 1 might equal 3 or 5. That's the beauty of community. And if you can figure out ways to integrate other people in your life that have a similar mission, and you can show up for them, and you know that they're going to show up for you, now you're able to achieve the impossible. It's really amazing when that happens.
It is amazing. It's magical. I mean, as humans, we are designed to have relations with other humans, right? I mean, that is by definition how we create life too. We need two people at least to further our human race.
Yeah.
So it's like literally just by, nature, but there are moments when we need to be alone, to kind of maybe go do a self-reflection exercise. We see monks, meditating in isolation from the rest of society to really achieve their inner awareness. But there's times for that, there's times for that. And there's times when it helps you be stronger too, when you're more self-aware, through your times of, alone time. I think we all need alone time at times. To be aware of how we're showing up in the world and how we're showing up in our relationships and, how we're really feeling. And, you know, that all is about achieving a higher self realization, self like awareness. It really boils down to, I think the first step is just really achieving that awareness, self-awareness. And, you know, the more years go by, the more self-aware I become, the more I learn about myself. Right. So it's amazing what you're doing, Noah, with the Big Possible. And again, I highly encourage everybody to listen to the Big Possible podcast, which is can be found on Spotify and Apple iTunes. And if they want to, do you have a website where people can learn more about you and reach you?
Absolutely. Yeah. So on social, I'm Follow Noah. And then on the website, go to thebigpossible.com. There is the in there. So it's not Big Possible. It's thebigpossible.com. And there I've got everything. I've got some blogs that I put together where I have these, you know, kind of I let my philosophical rants go. And then I have the podcast, obviously, which I interview cool people like Rita and just get a sense for figuring out how we can live these big, bold lives. So I think there's more than enough content for you to dive in. I'll also throw up some, I think this week I'm actually going to be putting up some of these guided meditation things. So that'll be, I think, fun for your listeners. They can go check that out. I think ultimately it's just about putting it out there. If you are just want some great content to be inspired, swing by the site.
Yeah. Yeah. So guys, again, that is thebigpossible.com. Check out his guided meditations. I'm sure they're fabulous, just like his podcast. And do you have any downloadable freebies on your site or an email newsletter program?
You know, I would say, yeah, just go to the site, read the blog. There's a lot of great stuff there. And additionally, too, if the retreat sounds like something that you'd be interested in, send me a message, noah@thebigpossible.com, and we'll talk about how we can get you there to the next one. Next one's in Puerto Vallarta. I'm not sure when this is going to go live, but that's in March. But that's basically it. So thanks for letting me be on the show, Rita. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I highly encourage everyone's looking for a retreat to check out Noah's retreat. I can tell I've been on retreats myself, and I'm honestly, it really is a skill. You don't have a good retreat facilitator to facilitate, the group relations with the attendees. It's not always the greatest experience. So you really do need to look for someone that, you know, has that awareness and skill sets to cultivate that sense of community within your retreat. So that being said, if you're looking for a retreat, I just by listening to Noah, I can tell he has the awareness and skill sets to cultivate a really great experience for his retreat members. Cultivate that connection, and that's really the magic with any successful retreat, is cultivating the connection between the retreat members to really make it really powerful with those exercises that you do. You know, typically they're, whether it's meditations or, you know, there's a lot of great exercises to dive deep to increase your awareness and tap into your magical powers of creating and manifesting.
Yes.
All right, guys, sending light and love to everybody. And if you like this podcast, share it out and subscribe. Till next time, guys.